Good morning. We'll call the Public Safety and Judiciary Conference Committee meeting to order here. Today is Saturday, May 10, 2025, and we do have a quorum present. Since our last meeting, members have been gathering information, answering questions, working through language in the side-by-side so that we are in a position to perhaps make some additional decisions here today. We'll have some motions, some discussion, descriptions of what we're doing. If there's anyone that feels compelled to participate or to say something, please let us know. We have a number of people gathered in the audience to answer questions as well, if members of the conference committee have any questions that we'd like answered. So with that, staff has prepared for us some suggestions for how we proceed today regarding individual proposals. And so I'll be turning to individual members of the conference committee for proposed motions. We'll have an opportunity to consider them. We have all of our side-by-sides available for review of the language as well. So that'll be our task today along the way. Anyone who wants to jump in with any questions or comments, just signal so I can identify you. A lot of people up here at the table today, so I'll need your help seeing who wants to speak. We're going to start with Senator Umu Verbeten for a motion. Senator Umu Verbeten.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move adoption of Article 2, R29, Senate Language Lines 31.1 to 31.16. And this is just an extension of amount of time that the funding for the Ramsey County Youth Home Extension is available. This was something that was passed in 23. Really important step to make sure that can move from institutional confinement to more, you know, therapeutic, community-based residences for young people who have these complex behavioral health needs. I did just want to give everyone a quick update on the things that have happened. In the fall of 23, there was an assembled legislative action team of subject matter experts to chart a path towards that successful implementation. And then in 24, the county began a series of targeted community engagement sessions, listening to youth, families, frontline practitioners on some of the unmet needs and how to best meet them. And then the RFP development started, and they have worked on solicitation. One of the barriers is just including, the licensing that can take up to 8 months through DHS, and finding a new vendor for this new model that they're pursuing. So that's the need for the extension, and happy to answer any questions.
Any members of the conference committee have any questions or discussion regarding the proposed motion? I don't see anyone in the audience waving their arms to try to come up to the table to testify in connection with it either. If there is someone who has something they think should be part of the discussion, just wave and we'll give you a space to do that. All right, I'm not seeing any discussion. Senator Umu Verbeten moves adoption of Article 2, R29 Senate language, lines 31.1 to 31.16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. I understand a House conferee is intending to move the Grand Portage extension.
That would be me, Mr. Chair.
Chair Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I move adoption of Article 2, R27, House language, lines 20.10. This is an extension of funding that was given to Grand Portage in 2023 for the purchase of equipment and to fund a position for Coast Guard services off the north shore of Lake Superior. It's our understanding that the acquiring of the boat that they needed to acquire was delayed, and so similar to the provision that we just adopted, this would just extend the time for them to be able to enact those changes that we made in 2023.
Do any members of the committee have any questions or discussion regarding this proposal? Anyone in the audience? Not seeing any further discussions or proposal. Chair Mohler's motion to adopt Article 2, R27, House language, lines 20, lines 20.10 to 20.17. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Seabird, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the adoption of Article 4. It'll be found on page R20A4, Senate language line 73.2 to 73.25. And this is the language dealing with the assault of firefighter EMS personnel. And what this does is it increases the penalty from a two-year felony to a I'll have to look in the right. Nope, I'm in the wrong spot. It is page R16, Article 4. And it increases the felony from for assault of an EMS personnel or firefighter with demonstrable bodily harm from a two-year felony and a $4,000 fine to a three-year felony and a $6,000 fine, and also creates a gross misdemeanor offense for assault of a firefighter or EMS worker without demonstrable bodily harm.
Do any members of the conference committee have any questions or discussion relating to this proposal? Any audience members wish to be heard on it? Not seeing any further discussion on the matter, Senator Seeberger's motion to adopt Article 4, Senate language, lines 73.8 to 73.25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Chair Mohler, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chair. This relates to Article 4, lines 37.3 to 38.5, and then specifically on line 38.1. This bill was actually in both the House and Senate bills, and it's getting at the exposure of fentanyl to children. There's already language in statute related to methamphetamine, and so this adds fentanyl, but with one exception. The House language also had another provision in there related to if there's the lawful prescription or use by a medical professional, so we make sure that's not going to be criminally penalized. And then we have one other change to the language that's in the side-by-side, specific to the fentanyl provision on line 38.1. We're going to delete or vulnerable adult, so then it would just apply to the exposure of fentanyl to children.
And so, members, this is on in the side-by-sides. It is page R4A4, continuing on to page R5A4. Is there any discussion or questions from members of the conference committee? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? So Chair Mohler moves Article 4 at R4 and 5, A4, lines 37.3 to 38.5 be adopted with the amendment on line 38.1, deleting or vulnerable adult. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Chair Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I'm looking at this, and forgive me if I missed this, but in the what we just adopted, on line 37.17, that's current law. Never mind. I was worried about the having the vulnerable adult definition there, but that's current law, so never mind.
Senator Umu-Verbaeten, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chair. I move adoption of Article 5R1, Senate lines 89.8 through 90.23, R5 through 10, lines 93.22 to 100.29, R13 lines 102.13 to 103.13, with an amendment to strike material. And I'll just describe this briefly. So there were some dated references in our statutes that describe sexual violence against children as pornographic work, which is really not an accurate way to describe the type of abuse that's happening. Now law enforcement, victim support, advocacy, medical providers, all those folks commonly reference these materials as children's sexual abuse material. So it doesn't change or affect the practice. It's really just updating the terminology and more accurately describing what is sexual abuse. So there's a definition of child sexual abuse material, and then the one change from how it came into conference is that we're going to strike the definition of material, which isn't necessary, and that change is supported by the BCA and the Minnesota County Attorneys Association.
Do any members of the committee have any questions or any discussion about the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Chair Mohler.
Thank you. And just for reference, that material definition is line 96.10, I believe. And maybe you said that. I just want to make sure people are following. Thank you.
Any members of the audience wish to be heard on this? So Senator Umu-Verbaeten moves adoption of Article 5, R1, Senate lines 89.8 to 90.23, on page R5 to 10, lines 93.22 to 100.29, on line R13, or on page R13, lines 102.13 to 103.13, and on page R7A5, line 96.10, which is the definition of material, delete that line. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We have a Senate conferee make the next motion. Senator Clark.
Thank you, Chair Latz. I move adoption of Article 6, page 12, Senate language lines 115.31 through 116.4. So that is page R12A6. Mr. Chair, what this does, it inserts Board of Public Defense language that we inadvertently missed in the last biennium that was inadvertently deleted. This allows reasonable attorney fees on appeal for appeals from district court to the Court of Appeals.
So, Senator Clark, you're saying that due to drafting complications, that provision was deleted before and it shouldn't have been? So we're reinstating what was previous statute, correct?
Chair Latz, that is correct. Thank you for that description.
Is there any discussion from members of the committee or any questions? Chair Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just note, too, that this is already consistent with current practice and also consistent with the rules of criminal procedure.
Any members of the audience wish to be heard? Not seeing any. All right. So, Senator Clark moves adoption of Article 6. Page 12, Senate language lines 115.31 to 116.11. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there a House conferee that wishes to make the next motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I move adoption of Article 11, R1, House language on line 82.26 through 84.17. And this is clarifying a data practices request procedure in the House. It was brought by Representative Green, who is a new member, and she dug right in and worked with a lot of stakeholders to arrive at some really workable language on the data request procedures. And I believe the Senate author is Senator Mann.
So, members, the operative language in the proposal is lines 84.12 to 84.17. And the Chair Scott, as I understand it, then the intent of this is when people make data practices requests and they're told that there's the response to the request is available for them to come inspect or obtain, and they don't respond at that point, then the agency is not required to continue any further efforts to respond to the request unless and until the requester follows up.
That is correct, Mr. Okay. Chair.
Is there any discussion or are there any questions from members of the conference committee? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to be heard on this? Seeing none, Chair Scott moves adoption of Article 11, R1, House language from lines 82.26 to 84.17. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair Scott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move adoption of Article 11, R7, House language lines 86.3 through 88.22. And this is House File 1596, and it has to do, I'll give you the example, the Met Council had a recent incident, you may have read about it in the news, where one of their more executive positions, there were some troubles in paradise there, and so they, but the problem was is in the Data Practices Act, they were not mentioned as having to, if there's a settlement, they were not mentioned and accountable in the Data Practices Act to making that settlement and those arrangements public. So the Met Council, this is a good provision. They're self-governing. They believe they should be subject to the same requirements as other local units of government. And so it has to do with the data classification of investigative information pertaining to their certain personnel.
Is there any discussion or are there any questions from members of the conference committee relating to this? We have a representative from formerly known as Minkoji coming forward. Now it's manure or something like that.
That's right. We're still trying to figure that out, Mr. Chairman, ourselves.
Go ahead and identify yourself and your affiliation. Let us know what you'd like to say.
So, Matt Ealing, Minnesotans for Open Government. I would just like to put on the record publicly, since we didn't get a chance to testify during the House hearing on this, that we support this provision, and we think that the Metropolitan Council is modeling best practices for government entities, because they're proactively coming forward to make sure and ensure that public data is available about their own activities. So we appreciate their support for the language as well.
Thank you, Mr. Ealing. Any questions from members of the conference committee for the testifier? Senator Westland, don't go too far there, Mr. Ealing.
No, it's not a question. Oh, okay.
Senator Westland.
Thank you, Chair Letts. I did want to just flag that this very same provision is also being heard in the state government conference committee, so whoever needs to know that, since we're adopting it, I assume we don't want to adopt it in both places.
Well, if they are identical, what will happen is whichever one gets adopted.
Got it.
Or if they both get adopted, it'll all end up in the right place. So we're going to make sure our bill gets across the finish line. Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just hope that this is a unanimous vote here, and it might be the first in the legislature of a unanimous vote regarding the Met Council.
Might turn out to be the last as well, but so let's take advantage of it. All right. Chair Scott, who wants to be the author of the motion for the first and maybe last unanimous vote on the Met Council, moves adoption of Article 11, R7, House Language Lines 86.3 to 88.22. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there a Senate conferee interested in making the next motion? Senator Clark.
Thank you, Chair Latz. Chair Latz, I move adoption of Article 13 of the Senate language. So this, a few different spots within Article 13 to specify. R1, Section 1 at line 195.24. R8, Sections 8 and 9. R9, Section 10. R10, Sections 11, 12, and 13, and then R32, Section 23. So that starts on page R1, A13. This is Senator Mann's Senate File 1409, Marriage Records Modification, and in the House, Representative Hansen. The overview is this modernizes and updates county registrar forms, and this is really policy language only. What this really does is it removes the requirement, Mr. Chair, that local register reports provide specific personal information relating to marriage certificates to the state registrar. Instead, the local registrar must report only the number of certificates of marriage registered in a format and with the frequency determined by the state registrar. A 2023 law authorized any person who registered as a civil marriage officiant with a local registrar in a county of Minnesota to perform a civil marriage. The new language removes all other individuals who are currently authorized to perform civil marriages, including judges and licensed or ordained ministers of any religious denominations. I have a few more descriptive pieces in this as well, if you'd like them, Mr. Chair.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, additionally, this no longer requires parties applying for a marriage license to provide the sex of each party, but does require the parties to provide their dates of birth and clarifies that a party who was previously married is only required to provide their name from their most recent marriage. And a 2020 law also temporarily permitted local registrars to examine parties upon oath remotely or accept verified statements and accept civil marriage license applications by mail, facsimile, or electronic filing. This section codifies that prior practice permanently And this section also removes an authorization to pay a reduced civil marriage license fee upon completion of premarital education. Finally, this permits a person to request an amendment of error in a marriage record directly with the local registrar by providing an affidavit and supporting documentation.
Thank you, Senator Clark. Any members of the conference committee have any discussion? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? So Senator Clark moves adoption of Article 13, page R1, section 1 at line 195.24, page R8, sections 8 and 9, page R9, section 10, page R10, sections 11, 12, and 13, and page R32, section 23. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair Liebling, do you have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I would like to move adoption of Article 13, page 6 in the side-by-side. And this is house-only language. It's on lines 24.15 to 25.2. And this is some language requiring reporting by the guardian ad litem. And as members know, the guardian ad litem had a program for using volunteer guardians ad litem and then sort of decided not to do it, and now they're kind of restarting that program. And there's also a funding request, which we'll get to when we do the budget piece. However, we thought it would be useful to have some reporting from them that that categorized by either volunteer or by professional staff, so that members and the public could get a better sense of what's going on there with regard to the volunteer program as it goes forward. So that's what this language is, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion from members of the conference committee? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? Chair Liebling moves adoption of Article 13, page 6, House language lines 24.15 to 25.2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair Liebling, do you have another motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So this would be moving adoption of Article 13, R20. Starting on R20, this was a bill from the Competency Attainment Board. This is their policy bill. And it covers lines 30.19 to 36.27. I think it was introduced rather late in the session, and I think the Senate also had the language somewhere. But this is the board's language. And what they're doing here is clarifying, first of all, the role that the forensic navigators play. They don't want to be supervising the folks that they're working with. They're just going to have a monitoring function, not a supervising function. So they're not probation officers, and they wanted to be distinguished in that way. So that's mainly what this does. The other piece is a reporting piece that currently, the law requires reporting by the board, and actually the data is collected by the judicial branch. And so what the bill is doing is relieving the board of that reporting because it's already being collected and reported elsewhere. So that is the Competency Attainment Board's policy bill.
And Chair Liebling, I understand it also strikes the provision for contracting with forensic navigators, right? I think the board determined that the amount of resources that it takes to train in navigators, they just would rather have everyone be employed by the board rather than contracted. So I'm looking at line 36.5.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair?
36.5.
36. Right, that's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions from members of the conference committee? When this was first drafted, I know the Senate had some questions for the staff from the competency board, and we reached out and they gave us clarifying answers, so we appreciate that. Any members of the audience wish to be heard on this? All right, so Chair Liebling moves adoption of Article 13, R20, House Language Lines 30.19 to 36.27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there a Senate conferee that wishes to make the next motion? Senator Wessling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So this is, I move adoption of Article 13 Senate language, and this will be found on pages R12, A13 through R15, A13. This is related to guardianships. This modifies the rights of a person subject to guardianship and the duties of a guardian related to restrictions on communication, visitation, and interactions, and it modifies the emergency guardian appointment process. Sections 14 and 16 modify the guardian's ability to restrict communication and visitation for a person subject to a guardianship. Under the current law, a guardian may not restrict the right to communication and visitation for a person subject to a guardianship unless the guardian has good cause to believe that restriction is necessary because the interaction poses a risk of significant physical, psychological, or financial harm to the person subject to guardianship, and there is no other means to avoid such significant harm. These sections require the guardian to show that the interaction poses a substantial risk of significant harm and requires the guardian to first seek limited restrictions whenever possible. For all restrictions, the guardian must notify the court, the person subject to the guardianship, and their attorney, and the person subject to the restriction within 48 hours of imposing the restriction. This notice must include a description of the restriction and any limited restrictions attempted. Section 15 requires the court to make a finding that the petitioner made good faith efforts to provide notice to the respondent or respondent's lawyer before appointing an emergency guardian without notice to the respondent or respondent's lawyer. This section also provides that the mere fact that the respondent is a patient in a hospital or resident of a facility is not alone sufficient to support a risk of substantial harm to the respondent's health, safety, or welfare.
Any discussion from members of the conference committee on this motion? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to be heard on it? All right, Senator Wessling moves adoption of Article 13 Senate language on R12, Section 14, R14, Section 15, and R15, Section 16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So we have a couple of proposed additions to incorporate some House files into the conference committee report. They're not in the side-by-sides. The first one we'll take a look at is House File 963. Is there a House conferee that wishes to make the motion?
That would be me, Chair.
Chair Novotny.
Novotny moves to amend. Moves to adopt an amendment adding the language of House File 963, the first engrossment. This language allows the Department of Corrections to revoke earned incentive release credits if the inmate violates the rules, with the addition of allowing the DOC to not place an offender on supervision abatement status if it is in the interest of public safety. This addition was recommended by the DOC and a codification of current DOC policy.
So Chair Novotny, we've seen the language from House File 963. So a rule violation or certainly committing a new crime while the inmate is going through this process. Does this basically give the Commissioner of Corrections more discretion in determining whether early release or early release from custody or supervision is appropriate, not dependent only upon meeting the criteria or doing the programming that would otherwise qualify for them? Gives a little more discretion to adjust according to circumstances.
Senator, that's my understanding of this is that this is current policy that they're currently doing, and they believe that they have the latitude under current statutes, and that they're just adding for this clarification of their current policies.
Gotcha. Thank you. Any discussion from members of the conference committee? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? I know the Department of Corrections is present to answer questions if we have any. Not seeing any discussion. So Chair Novotny moves that the language from House File 963 be incorporated into the conference committee report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there a House conferee that would like to address House File 1744's language?
That would also be me, Chair Letts.
Chair Novotny.
Novotny moves to amend Senate language on the exception on the use of mobile tracking devices on fleeing motor vehicles on R12A5, lines 102.5 to 102.12, with the House language of House File 1744, first engrossment, tracking devices allowed on fleeing vehicles and stolen vehicles that are unoccupied but not on private property. They also must remove the device or get a search warrant within 12 hours, and there are additional reporting requirements. So Chair Latz, the Senate heard all three bills that were in regards to mobile tracking, and this is agreements that have been worked out with the different stakeholders and the ACLU.
All right, so members, on R12A5, there's a very short language that's on the Senate side. There is no House language specifically because of the status of House File 1744, so it wasn't formally incorporated into the side-by-sides. But the language, as Chair Novotny indicated, was a product of a lot of discussion among a variety of stakeholders.
That's correct. It's currently on the General Register.
Okay. Is there any discussion from members of the conference committee? Any members of the audience wish to be heard on this? I'm not seeing anyone come forward. Chair Novotny moves that the language from House File 1744 presently on the General Register in the House be added into the conference committee report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. There's also some language being proposed relating to the Department of Corrections. I understand Chair Moeller may be making this motion.
That's correct, Mr. Chair, and it's two separate motions. The first is that I will move Article 4, Section 12, lines 42.4 to 43.34.
Do you have the page number for Article 4 in the side-by-side?
It's R10A4.
Thank you.
Lines 42.4 to 43.34. This is language that was requested from the counties related to the supervision funding formula. It was both a FICE bill and a Senator Seeberger bill. It essentially makes changes to the supervision funding formula so that the per diem is based on a three-year average instead of the one-year average, and the stakeholders have indicated they are fine with this language.
Is there any discussion from members of the conference committee on Chair Moeller's motion? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard? So Chair Moeller moves adoption of the House language on R10A4 to R11A4, lines 42.4 to 43.34. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Chair Moeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next, I'll move to adopt House language, Article 4, R8, starting on lines 39.10. This is Section 6, 7, and 8. This provision delays the sunset on the authority of the Commissioner of Corrections and Counties to impose correctional supervision fees. Was already delayed, but we are asking for a further delay for that.
Chair Moeller, what would be the impact of this proposed change?
So without doing this delay, I don't have the exact number, but it was a cost to the counties if we don't have this delay, and it was a cost that we neither of us funded in our bills.
So my understanding is that there was a House proposal to delete the repeal of those fees altogether, and they were set to expire altogether imminently, or I guess August 1 of 2027. And so House members, the original author of that proposal and the author of a new proposal got together, addressed it with stakeholders as well, and have come up with this compromise proposal to simply extend the sunset date for those fees. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's a great summary, Mr. Chair.
All right. And this would then avoid creating a gap in the funding that counties receive from those supervisory fees and probation. Correct?
That's correct. All
right. Any further discussion or questions from members of the conference committee? Any member of the audience wish to be heard on this? All right, Chair Moeller moves to adopt the House language. I'm on R8A4 to R9A4, lines 39.10 to 40.23. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair Moeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't a motion, just a comment for those following along with the DOC provisions. So the Senate has accepted the House's position to not include changes to the DOC's rulemaking authority. That language is in Senate Article 8. And based on that agreement, along with the policy provisions that we've adopted earlier this week, it's my understanding that that will wrap up Article 8 of the Senate bill and Article 5 of the House bill.
All right, so apparently the work that we've already done has addressed this issue, and appreciate the clarification, Chair Mueller, with regard to the additional language that is in the side-by-sides. No need to take any further action to implement that. Is there anyone in the conference committee that wishes to be heard on that point? Not seeing anything. Anyone in the audience wish to be heard on that? No one's coming forward. All right. I understand that at this point, there is nothing further that is ready for any formal action by this conference committee. I know that there are some questions that have arisen with regard to other proposals in the side-by-side. It's anticipated that we'll take some testimony and have some further discussion on Monday when the House has the gavel. Is there any member of the audience that wanted to say anything before we wrap up today's conference committee? We have a time for Monday is.
Our room is 1 p.m., but it'll be called the chair.
All right, so the House will have the gavel on Monday. I understand we have the room at 1 p.m., but as schedules are fluid right now, is that the call of the chair? And I don't know which chair it's going to be either. Chair Mueller?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. It will definitely be at the call of the chair on Monday.
Okay. So Chair Mueller will call all of us on Monday and let us know when we'll be meeting on Monday sometime, hopefully while we still have a room available to us. And the House is requesting some testimony from will be notified to be on standby. All right. I don't see that we have anything further productive that we can accomplish here in the conference committee today. So we are adjourned.